Okay. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhina istafa amma ba'd. So we were discussing the just 1 minute. Okay, so we were discussing the mutawatir hadith, and we went through the four conditions of the mutawatir hadith: adadun kathirun ahalat al-adat wa tawaffaqum ala al-kidhbi. رواه ذلك عن مثله من الابتداء إلى الانتهاء وكان مستند انتهاء من الحس. And then Imam Ibn Hajar adds the fifth one to that. And then he says, وما تخلفت إفادة العلم عنه كان مشهورا فقط. And that which is short of giving us certain knowledge, knowledge of certainty, وَمَا تَخَلَّفَتْ إِفَادَةُ الْعِلْمِ عَنْهُ, that which is short of giving us knowledge of, or certain knowledge, or knowledge of certainty, كَانَ مَشْهُورًا فَقَطْ, that is مَشْهُور. وَكُلُّ مُتَوَاتِرٍ مَشْهُورٌ مِنْ غَيْرِ عَكْسٍ, every mutawatir is a mashhoor, however, not every mashhoor is a mutawatir. So what does it mean by وَمَا تَخَلَّفَتْ إِفَادَةُ الْعِلْمِ عَنْهُ? So in order to understand that, this is a mantiqi usuli discussion which really has got nothing to do with ulum al-hadith. Imam Ibn Hajar later on will basically say that this is a mantiqi discussion. But since he's mentioned it, let's have a look at this. So we have... Let this just load up. Can you see my screen?
Yes.
Okay. So we have ilm yaqini, which is knowledge which is certain, or certain knowledge. Sometimes we just refer to it as ilm. Okay. Then we have غلبة الظن. Then we have ظن. Then we have شك. Then we have خطأ. Then we have وهم. These all relate to epistemology. So علم يقين will be kind of, if we were to put a number on it, 100%. This will be about 70%. Dhan will be over 50. Shak is 50-50. Khata is below 50. And waham is basically zero. Okay. Sorry, there's one missing. Ilm yaqeen, ghalabat al-dhan, dhan, shak. Yeah, maybe. Okay. So this is related to kind of epistemology. Shak is where there is 50-50, where it can go either way. But ilm al-yaqeen is 100%. Mutawatir gives the yaqeeni ilm. And then we have, like all the others, ahad is, you know, here. In this category, this is all ahad. Yeah, depending on the strength, it's either from above 50 to kind of 70. This is ahad, but ahad is still dhan. Okay, dhan is not yaqini knowledge, it's not certain knowledge, it's preponderant knowledge, which is preponderant, and knowledge which is dominant. Okay, so at the end of the day, you know, the usul al-fiqh discussion, okay, the usul al-fiqh discussion is more interested in kind of epistemology. What is the epistemological status of a hadith. Whereas in the ulum al-hadith, according to the muhaddithun are not really interested in the epistemological status. They're more interested in amal. So they're more interested in maqbul and mardood rather than ilm yaqini and ghalabatul dhan or dhan. These are all kind of usulul fiqh discussions, mantiqi discussions, which were superimposed into ulum al-hadith, and the first person to have done that is Khatib al-Baghdadi. He is the one who has introduced those terminologies into the ulum al-hadith. But nevertheless, because now they have become a part and parcel of the ulum al-hadith, we will discuss with them, discuss them. So mutawatir is that gives 100% knowledge, and all the ahad, okay, mashhur and aziz and gharib, are in this kind of area here, and that's okay. Majority of the dalail of Islam, especially related to fiqh, function in the dhanni, in the ghalabatul dhan, region. A majority of the ahadith of ahkam are from the hasan, and that's okay. We do not need 100% surety that that this has been transmitted with 100% certainty. At least if we have a high level of zan, then that's okay. And this is normally, we do that in every single thing in our life. You know, we don't really have yaqeen. If we were to do yaqeen for everything, then life will be quite difficult, because what we do is we have faith on other people. Like, how many of you or how many of us have actually asked our parents? Like, if I was to ask you, where is Hussein gone? Hussein?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so I'm gonna talk to Hussein because he's my relative. He's not going to mind. So Hussein, a bizarre question. Do you have any doubt that you are your parents' child?
No.
Okay, you don't have any doubt. Like, you have 100% yaqeen.
Yep.
Yeah. Have you asked your parents whether you are their child or not?
Not yet.
Not yet, and you probably never will, and they'll probably hit you.
Yeah, probably will.
Yeah, but in a way, because you haven't confirmed it with them, you still 400%. There isn't a surety there. Yeah, because as far as epistemology is concerned, I'm not talking about your belief and your faith and your loyalty to your parents and your parents. I'm not talking about any of that. Okay,
no,
I'm
talking from a technical point of view. I can't say with 100%.
Yeah. This is what I'm saying. From a mantiqi, technically point of view, you can't. Right. The reason why is because you haven't asked them. Right. And even when you ask them, and they respond to you, right, you still cannot be sure, because they might be lying, because they're giving you a khabar. So then you need to investigate that, and then you need to investigate that, and then you need to investigate that, and it becomes like a rabbit's hole. Yeah, this is why. I don't know if you've heard of Descartes, René Descartes.
Yeah, is he the one with the famous quote about the car and the? No, sorry, that's somebody else. But I know who you're talking about.
So René Descartes is basically the founding father of Western kind of epistemology and philosophy, and he started. He wanted to kind of understand whether what is around us, whether it's haqiqah. Haqiqatul ashya'i thabitatun, we read in Sharul Aqaid al-Nasafiyya, whether it's haqiqa or not. And he wanted to put everything on a sound, rational basis. So he started looking at the window, and he started looking at the sky, and he started trying to look for rational argument to say that they are haqiqa, real. But he couldn't find rational arguments, 100% yaqini arguments. So he said, well, I don't agree that the sky exists, and I don't agree that the window exists, and the wind exists, and this exists. And he started denying everything because he couldn't rationally explain everything, until he came to himself, and then he started questioning himself, and then he said, "Cogito ergo sum, I think, therefore I am." right? That I'm a thinking human being. Because I'm doing this thinking, it basically does a proof that I am here. This is to do with epistemology. So if we go down the yaqini line, then we will have a hard time kind of living. So majority of the stuff is taken on face value because we have faith on what other people say to us, right? And the majority of the Sharia is like this. The Adilla Sharia is not based on yaqini, but based on ghalabat al-dhan. And that's okay. Okay, so وَمَا تَخَلَّفَتْ إِفَادَةُ الْعِلْمِ, that which is short of yaqini ilm. Here, al-ilm basically means yaqini ilm. That is called mashhur. فَكُلُّ مُتَوَاتِرٍ مَشْهُورٌ مِنْ غَيْرِ عَكْسٍ. Every mutawatir is a mashhur. So, okay, وَقَدْ يُقَالُ, there's another way of conceptualizing the mutawatir. And it is said, إِنَّ الشُّرُوطَ الْأَرْبَعَ إِذَا حَصَلَتْ, when the four conditions of the mutawatir are found in one place, إِسْتَلْزَمَتْ حُسُولُ الْعِلْمِ, that automatically ensures that somebody has got yaqeen. So that's another way of, in order to for a hadith to be mutawatir, and yaqini, then you need to find, you need to have those four conditions. But this is flipping it and saying, wherever those four conditions are found, then automatically you get yaqini ilm. وَهُوَ كَذَلِكَ فِي الْغَالِبِ, and this is in normally all of the places, most of the places, لَكِنْ قَدْ يَخْتَلِفْ عَنِ الْبَعْضِ لِمَانِعٍ. However, sometimes even after those four conditions being found, then there is still a mania that it doesn't give you yaqini. So for example, the entire Christian world believes in, and it's been transmitted, in the Godhead of Jesus Christ, and yet and this has been naql mutawatir, and yet we don't believe in that because we have a source which is greater than the Christian ijma, and that is the Quran and Sunnah. And in the Quran and Sunnah, we basically find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cannot have a son. So even though in the Christian concept, these four conditions still apply 100%, but we still do not have yaqini knowledge from that because of a mani, and the mani here is our own kind of understanding of tawheed and things like that. وَقَدْ وَضَحَ بِهَذَا تَعْرِيفُ الْمُتَوَاتِرِ, and from this, the definition of mutawatir has become quite clear. وَخِلَافُهُ قَدْ يَرِدُ بِلَا حَصْرٍ أَيْضًا لَكِنْ مَعَ فَقْدِ بَعْدِ الشُّرُوطِ أَوْ مَعَ حصر بما فوق الاثنين. Let's make it a bit. أو بثلاثة فصاعدا ما لم تجتمع شروط التواتر أو بهما أي باثنين فقط أو بواحد. Okay. Does anybody have any questions?
Just one quick question.
Yes.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Okay. Yes. Just about the Imr Yaqini.
Yeah.
And these categorizations. This is related to the transmission of the hadith, but not necessarily the interpretation of the hadith, right?
Because all of this is related to transmission, not interpretation.
Okay.
Any other questions?
You mentioned the 70% number is ahad and below, but mutawatir would get you 100%. So let's say something is 90%. Would that still count under ghalabat al-dhan, or?
That should be modified. So anything which is below, 70% is demarcating, is the minimum, threshold. Yeah, so it will be all the way up to 99. That's the minimum. So to differentiate it between the zone and the ghalabat zone. Yeah, that's just a notional. It's just a notional. We don't really know, you know, how it is. وخلافه قد يرد بلا حصر أيضا, and the opposite of the متواتر can also happen without a number, okay? لكن مع فقد بعض الشروط. However, some of the شروط are missing. So you might basically have, so what he's saying here is that you may have a situation where there is, you know, people are transmitting in a very large, a vast amount of number, okay? So, but still, that will not be counted as mutawatir because despite the fact that it's being, you know, a very large number, لكن مع فقد بعض الشروط, however, it is missing other conditions, right? For example, if the entire community, just these are hypotheticals, these really don't exist, and that's why the usulul fiqh discussion is really hypothetical, right? That imagine if there is a whole country of liars, right? And everybody knows them to be liars. Now, they transmit something, let's say a piece of information. We're not talking about hadith. They transmit a piece of information. Even though it's normally, it's bila hasr, there's, you know, there isn't a fixed number. And normally it will be impossible for all of them to be colluding on a lie. In this situation, it is possible for them to collude on a lie because they're all lying. So that's what it means by فقدان بعد الشروط. Like I said, again, this is not an علوم الحديث discussion. We just understand it and we move on. Okay. But أو مع حصرين. And sometimes the خلاف of متواتر happens when there is a fixed number. أو مع حصرين, when there is a fixed number. Now that fixed number is بما فوق الاثنين أو بثلاثة فصاعدا. Right? The fixed number is minimum fixed number is that which is above two, i.e. three above, as long as it does not reach the conditions of mutawatir. So anything which is from three all the way up to the conditions of the mutawatir, right? Or aw bihima, or it is fixed on only two, okay, i.e. bi ithnain faqat, aw bi wahidin, or there is only one person that is narrating it. So now we have four categorizations. We have the mutawatir with these four conditions, and then we have another one where there's three people narrating at least in each generation of the isnad. Three people or more, as long as it doesn't reach the level of mutawatir. And the third one is two people in each generation, and the fourth one is only one person in at least one person in each one person all the way. Yeah. والمراد بقولنا, and what we meant by our saying. أن يرد بإثنين ألا يرد بأقل منهما فإن ورد بأكثر في بعض الموضع من السند الواحد لا يضر إذ الأقل في هذا يقضي الأكثر. Right. Where is it? So he's وقد يرد بإثنين بما فوق الاثنين ألا يرد بأقل منهما. That when we say two, okay, that basically means that the number cannot drop below two. If there is more, فإن ورد بأكثر في بعض المواضع من السند الواحد لا يضر. But however, if there is more in some parts of the isnad, yeah, في بعض المواضع من السند الواحد لا يضر, that will not have an effect. Because the lesson number includes the can facilitate or can accommodate more numbers. Okay, so what does that mean? Let's have a look at what they're first saying, right? So the first one, let's say the three, okay? We have, let's say this is Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We have Sahabi. Yeah. And then what we have three Sahabis. Yeah, that's three Sahabis. That's a tabi'i. How many tabi's have you got? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 6 tabi'i. Okay. Now, it is not necessary for the number 3 to maintain that every single one of them have to have 3 people narrating from them. As long as in this entire generation there are 3 people, okay, that is sufficient. Yeah. That is still sufficient. Okay, then you have right. I'll just call them TT Tabatabi. That is still sufficient, okay, for it to be a mashhur. The numbers cannot drop below 3. If the numbers drop with the minimum number, there can be maximum. You know, we can have more TTs here. Yeah, we can have more, but we can't have less than 3. If the numbers drop below 3, then they're no longer mashhur, right? Similarly, if you have Rasul, and then we have Sahabi, Abu Suad, another Sahabi, Abu Suad. Yeah. He's got two tabi'i. He's got 1 tabi'i. Okay, it's still, so there's 3 here now. Okay, so you can basically then question, well, if there's 3, then 3 is the minimum number of mashhur. So shouldn't be this be mashhur? No, it won't be mashhur because we only have 2 sahabis. Yeah, the numbers shouldn't drop below 2 in order for this to be aziz, but it can be more. Okay, so you can have, and then there can be no one from there. Okay, so T, right. It still will be considered as Aziz. Okay, what we can't do is we can't have the numbers dropping. Does that make sense? This is what he says. وَالْمُرَادُ بِقَوْلِنَا أَيَّرِدَ بِإِثْنَيْنِ أَلَّا يَرِدْ بِأَقَلٍ مِّنْهُمَا فَإِنْ وَرَدَ بِأَكْثَرَ فِي بَعْدِ الْمَوَاضِعِ مِنَ السَّنَدِ الْوَاحِدِ لَا يَدُرُّ إِذُ الْأَقَلُّ فِي هَذَا يَقْضِي عَلَى الْأَكْثَرِ Because the minimum number will arbitrate over the maximum number. So it's the minimum number that will decide what type of hadith is it? Is it aziz? Is it gharib? Is it mashhur? It's the minimum number in any part of the isnad. And remember, we're only talking about asr al-tadwin. Okay? Asr al-tadwin. We're not going beyond asr al-tadwin. Does that make sense? Hussein, does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay.
Question for the mutawatir. Does there have to be more than 3 even on the sahaba level? Or is it...
So yes, the mutawatir. I mean, there are different. Sorry, I will have to say that there are difference of opinion as to whether the Sahaba are included in this number or whether the Sahabas are excluded from this number. There's both views. So if it's mutawatir, then but the other thing you have to understand is that Although mutawatir is talking about a numerical quantitative approach, Ibn Hajar Asqalani and others do accept that the quality of the person who is saying can trump the quantity. So for example, if Rasulullah is saying something that is more valuable than 100 sahabis, yeah, if Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala who is saying something that is more valuable than 1,000 tabi'i, do you understand? So then they do actually look at it qualitatively as well.
Mm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. But yeah, in the mashhur, there has to be 3 sahabi.
Yeah.
At least.
Okay. At least. So it's the minimum number that will arbitrate. It doesn't matter how many. It doesn't have to be 3 sahabis at the beginning. It has to basically be a minimum of 3 somewhere in the isnad. So there can be 10 sahabis. Yeah? There can be 10 sahabis, but if the isnad drops somewhere to 3, that number 3 will arbitrate on the entire isnad, above and below it. Does that make sense?
Yes.
That is what he's saying here, that Allah yarid bi aqallam minha fa in warada bi akthara fi ba'd al mawadi' min as-sanad al wahid la yadur id al aqal fi hadha yaqdi, because it is the minimum number that will arbitrate over the maximum number. So anywhere in the isnad, in the generation of isnad, if you get a minimum of 3 people, it doesn't matter. So remember Asr al-Tadwin, okay? So Asr al-Tadwin is here. Anywhere, then we will basically say this is mashhur, even though there might be 100 sahabi. But because the isnad has dropped to 3, it still will be mashhur. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. فَالْأَوَّلُ الْمُتَوَاتِرُ. The first one is mutawatir. Which one is the mutawatir? It's the first one which, with the 4 conditions. وَهُوَ الْمُفِيدُ لِلْعِلْمِ الْيَقِينِ. And the mutawatir is the one that gives us certain knowledge. Okay. فَأَخْرَجَ النَّذَرِي عَلَى مَا يَأْتِي نَذَرِيَّ على ما يأتي تقريبا. By saying وهو المفيد للعلم اليقيني, the another hypothetical knowledge is excluded, and this will be explained later on. So وهو المفيد للعلم اليقيني بشروطه التي تقدمت. The mutawatir gives yaqini knowledge, providing that the conditions that we have mentioned, those are met. Okay, what is yaqin? Imam Ibn Hajar explained that. He says, وَالْيَقِينِ هُوَ الْإِعْتِقَادِ الْجَازِمِ الْمُتَابِقِ. It is that firm i'tiqad, belief, which corresponds with reality. المُتَابِقِ لِلْوَاقِعِ. الاعتقاد الجازم المطابق للواقع. وهذا هو المعتمد أن خبر التواتر يفيد العلم الضروري. And this is the معتمد, the correct opinion, that خبر المتواتر gives us the benefit of necessary knowledge. Okay, how many of you have done mantiq here? Just shout out if you haven't.
I haven't,
not properly anyway.
Okay, so
we have done a little bit.
Okay, in order to understand these terminologies, we need to understand a bit of mantiqi terminologies. Okay, so let's start. Okay. So if we have, let's say, the mental categorization of tasdeeq and tasawwur. So for tasdeeq is affirmations, right? Affirmations of reality, okay? Then that affirmation of reality can happen either by ilm, ilm yaqini. So when we say ilm normally in mantiq, what we mean by ilm is ilm yaqini. Okay, in mantiq, when we normally say ilm, it means a certain knowledge, right? Because anything which is not certain knowledge is not actually ilm. Ilm is certainty. So opposite to that is dhan, yeah? And the other categories. In hadith terminology, classical hadith terminology, when we use the word ilm, we actually refer to the word ilm as hadith. So al-ilm wal-fiqh, you'll see in classical, al-ilm wal-fiqh, basically doesn't mean science and fiqh, doesn't mean knowledge and fiqh, it means hadith and fiqh. But in mantiq, ilm on its own basically means ilm yaqini. Now, ilm yaqini, yaqini is the end product. Dhan is the end product, the kind of emotions that is within you when you learn something. Right. So when you learn something is yaqini, then you get confident that this is true. Something which is zan, then you're not 100% confident whether it's true or not. So that is the end product. Does that make sense? So yaqeen and zan, these are end products. Does that make sense?
No.
Yeah.
Yes.
Now yaqeen, how do you get to yaqeen? Forget the zan for the time being. You can get to the yaqeen. So this is the pathways. How do you get that yaqeen? How do you get that certainty in your heart? There are two pathways to that. Number one is called daruri. And sometimes this is also called badihi. Daruri means necessary. Badihi means obvious. And the second one is nadhari. Nadhari from the word nadhar, which basically means that you need to involve some thinking. Okay. Hussein, you answer this question, right?
Yes.
Right. Answer that question.
Two.
How long did it take you to answer that question?
Not very
the moment long. You saw it, how long, how many seconds?
As soon as I heard, maybe a second.
A second. And how confident are you that it is correct?
100%.
100%, right. Does everybody else agree with that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So that will be a badihi knowledge, right? That knowledge is obvious to you. Or sometimes we basically call it daruri knowledge, necessary knowledge. Necessary knowledge means that it is so obvious that you don't even need to process it. Okay? And the natija is that it is yaqini. Okay? So it's fast. Okay? There wasn't any prolonged mental processes involved. It's yaqini. Okay. Now, can you work that out? Hussein, can you work that out? 46 times
17?
82, I think. Is it 46 times 17 is 82? I don't think so.
820.
Is it? Did you use a calculator or did you work it out?
I didn't use a calculator, sorry.
Did you do it? How did you come to the conclusions? Can somebody tell me what's 46 times 17? Use a calculator, Hussein.
Seven eight two.
Are you 100% Are you 100% sure of the answer?
Now I am, yes.
Okay, so your answer is yaqini, right? Because you used a calculator and the calculator confirmed it and you have faith in the calculator. That's yaqini. But the process that was involved wasn't immediate. You had to get a calculator out, right? And then you had to put the digits in and then, you know, or you had to, if you were doing it by hand, then you use a long method or whatever. But the process wasn't fast. You had to do nadhar. Nadhar basically means fikr, right? But the end result is still the same, yaqini. Does that make sense? So you have two pathways to yaqini knowledge. Either it is ilm daruri, or it is ilm nazari. Have you understood those two categorizations?
Yes.
Yes. So
quick question. So badihi is it's not a different type, is it? It's just another...
Yeah, it's another terminology.
Okay.
It's another terminology for daruri. Yeah. Is that okay? So have you understood the two pathways to yaqini ilm?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
I have one question there.
Yes.
So daruri, would it be equivalent to intuitive knowledge, or intuitive would be a category of daruri?
Explain what you mean by intuitive.
For example, that a person can't be in two places at the same time. This is intuitive. You don't need to rationalize. You just know it.
Intuitive knowledge are mental processes. Okay. Mm-hmm. They do not have a... So these are from the tasawwurat, not from the tasdeeq. Tasdeeq are the ones which have got a physical appearance. And therefore these intuitive knowledge, although it's daruri, but it's outside of this, it's got another classification. I mean,
okay.
If you ever do Sharh al-Aqaid al-Nasafiyyah, you'll see that they make those classifications. I mean, the thing is that sometimes they're hair splitting, and sometimes you think, well, it could either be in that category or that category. But intuitive knowledge, well, in a way, like if you put your hand on fire, right, and the fire burns, that's, in a way, that's intuitive. So just 1 minute, I need to let this cut out. Yeah, but that's fine. I mean, in basically, it's knowledge which is so obvious. I don't know, you can also call intuitive knowledge that, but I think in the technical sciences, they do not include intuitive knowledge from that category. Okay, but that's been quite pedantic.
Okay.
So once you understand the different pathways, so remember, daruri is not an end product, it's the pathway to an end product. Nazari is not the end product, it is a pathway to an end product, right? So mutawatir ahadith, right? Mutawatir ahadith gives ilmul yaqini, but that ilmul yaqini is daruri and badihi, okay? Because of the four conditions, is basically seen as ilm al-daruri, ilm al-yaqini, daruri. There will be some types of ahadith which are nazari, yaqini but nazari, not zanni, yaqini but nazari, and he's going to talk about that later on. So we'll park that discussion there, but as long as you understood those two categorizations, we can move on. Is that okay?
Why is it daruri? Because don't you have to think through to figure out whether it's mutawatir or not? You go through the condition. I don't understand. I guess I don't understand why it would be al-yaqin daruri rather than.
Well, it's okay. Okay, let me ask you a question. Do you believe that China exists?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, do you have any doubt in that?
No.
What is the source of your information?
The khabar of many, many people. And
so isn't that daruri then?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Does that make sense?
Okay. Yeah.
Because short of you going to China, you have to rely on other information, right?
Yeah? Right.
Okay. وهذا هو المعتمد أن خبر التواتر يفيد العلم الضروري وهو الذي يضطر الإنسان إليه بحيث لا يمكنه دفعه. So what is the علم الضروري? ضروري, necessary knowledge, is that knowledge which is that the human being is obliged to accept it in that manner that you're not able to discard it. Well, like I said, China, if you basically say, I don't believe that China exists, then people will think you're a madman. So you're forced to accept it. Yeah. So here, daruri is being synonymized with the word ittirar. Ittirar basically means to be forced. Daruri is necessary. Some people, so now he's given the explanation and he's given you a kind of a detail of the mantiki discussion, which are not found in the Nukhba, by the way. This discussion is not found in the Nukhba. Now that he's told you that Khabar Mutawatir gives you Ilmul Yaqini of Daruri, he's giving you a dissenting view. Some people basically say, وَقِيلَ لَا يُفِيدُ الْعِلْمِ إِلَّا نَظَرِيًّا, right? Some people say that it only gives nazari knowledge, like the way you, brother, just asked, because he said, well, I have to ponder over it. And some people are saying exactly, well, we have to ponder over those shurut. It might give us yaqini knowledge, but not necessarily through the pathway of daruri. It's more through the pathway of nazari. Imam Ibn Hajar and the muhaddithun, they reject that. And what I say, Bishayin, we don't heed to that criticism. لأن العلم بالتواتر حاصل لمن ليس له أهلية النظر كالعامي. Right? So he said, why? Because when something is so well known, right, then the knowledge of that tawatur is hasil, is obtainable for even that person who doesn't have the technical expertise to kind of ponder, like ahliyatun nazar. Ahliyatun nazar basically means that it's not technical knowledge, it's simple knowledge that even the ammi, the general person, common person, will be able to do it. If it's, is it nazar? Because why is he saying that mutawatir is ilm daruri and not nazari? Because he's saying, because nazar, to ponder and to think, what is nazar? He says, tartibu umurin ma'lumin aw madhnunatin yutawassalu biha ila ulumin aw dhununin. Right? Because nazar is to organize known yaqini stuff or things of conjecture, to organize them in such a way that from them you are able to extrapolate, yutawassalu biha ila ulumin, that will lead you. So you organize your material or your data in such a way that will then lead you to come out with a natija, conclusion, which you didn't know before. And the common person does not have the technical expertise to do that. Whereas mutawatir, really, when you say, do you believe China exists? Everybody will say yes. Even the arm person has that knowledge. So what that basically means is, look, we have number 46 floating around. Sorry, so 46. Yeah. Have you ever seen those, you know, those TV programs where, what's that? Carol Vorderman used to do this, right? So you've got number 46, you've got number 17, right? And you've got number 782. Right, and they say, well, use all of them in a way that, you know, so you use all of them. So you'll basically think about it. So, 42, 46 times 17 equals 782, right? Not everybody has got the technical expertise to be able to organize that. You need somebody who's good at mathematics, right? So this is what he's saying, that the mutawatir is something which even the ammi person can understand, and therefore the mutawatir has to be daruri, because the am person does not have the technical expertise to do nazar. Because nazar means to, things that you know, organize your material in such a way that you come up with a conclusion which you didn't know. Does that make sense? Yeah?
Yes.
Okay, this is 100% mantik. It's got nothing to do with hadith, but we have to be loyal to Ibn Hajar, and because he's discussing it, we need to discuss it. وَلَيْسَ فِي الْعَامِ أَهْلِيَةُ ذَلِكَ. The ammi does not have ahliya, does not have the capacity for that. فَلَوْ كَانَ نَذَرِيًّا لَمَا حَصَلَ لَهُمْ. If the mutawatir was nazari, then the ammi person would not have been able to conceptualize it. Does that make sense? ولاح بهذا التقرير الفرق بين العلم الضروري والعلم النظري. And what has become laha, what has become apparent from this discussion is the difference between علم ضروري and علم نظري. Is it ضروري يفيد العلم بلا استدلال, because ضروري is that which gives you knowledge without having to look into دليل. Yeah. والنظري يفيده لكن مع الاستدلال على الإفادة. However, النظري also gives you يقيني knowledge, but it requires, in order to get that يقيني knowledge, فايدة of that يقيني knowledge, it requires to you to basically look into the دلائلs and ponder over the دلائلs. وأن الضرورية يحصل لكل سامع والنظري لا يحصل إلا لمن فيه أهلية النظر. And the ضروري is obtainable for everyone who is able to listen, but the here and the نظري is not obtainable but for the person who has got the technical expertise to do نظر. وإنما أبهمت شروط المتواتر في الأصل لأنه على هذه الكيفية ليس من مباحث علم الإسناد. Okay. So there is an i'tiraz here, and that i'tiraz is that if we go back to Nukhba. So this is the Nukhba. Right. So he says, الخبر إما أن يكون له طرق بلا عدد معين أو مع حصر بما فوق الاثنين أو بهما أو بواحد. فالأول المتواتر المفيد للعلم اليقيني بشروطه. والثاني, so he says, look, الأول, the متواتر is that which gives يقيني علم provided that his conditions are met. Right? Here, he's basically saying, so you can read this two ways. I think it should be وَإِنَّمَا أَبْهَمْتُ شروط المتواتر, because he's talking about his own shara. And the reason why I have kept the shart of the mutawatir in the asl, i.e. in the nukhba, mubham, meaning without, ambiguous, without explaining it. So he just said, bishurutihi, without explaining what the shuruts are. He said, لِأَنَّهُ عَلَى هَذِهِ الْكَيْفِيَةِ, because the mutawatir, according to this kayfiyya, what kayfiyya? The kayfiyya that such a large number of people are narrating it. Number one, that is impossible for all of them to be colluding and conspiring on a lie or to coincidentally lie, and that number has to remain from the beginning of the isnad to the end of the isnad, and that the person who is receiving it has to also be confident of that. He says that according to that kayfiyya, لأنه على هذه الكيفية, according to that kayfiyya, ليس من مباحث علم الإسناد, this is not from the subject matter of علم الإسناد. That kayfiyya that we have, that these conditions need to be met, because this is not something that we actually investigate in the علم الإسناد. Why? He says, إذ علم الإسناد يبحث فيه عن صحة الحديث أو ضعفه ليعمل به أو يترك. Because what is the purpose of علم الإسناد? Right. It says علم الإسناد, the purpose of that is to investigate, right, the authenticity of the hadith or the ضعف or the weakness of the hadith, so that ليعمل به, one may practice that hadith أو يترك or reject that hadith. So here is the Imam Ibn Hajar Asqalani is giving us a window into the difference between ulum al hadith and the bahs of the sunnah in usul al hadith. If you open usul al shashi, right? And you look at the Bahs of the Sunnah, although they may be looking at similar terminologies, they have differences in understanding of the terminology, but they're looking at the similar terminologies. But the Usulul Fiqh and the Bahs of the Sunnah in Usulul Fiqh is more to do with epistemology. It's to do with recognizing what is the will of God, right? Whereas the Ulum al-Hadith is more concerned about amal, our everyday amal. The Usul al-Hadith is really not interested in the should we practice the Hadith or not. The Usul al-Fiqh discussion of the Sunnah is not really interested in whether we should practice the Hadith or we should do Tark of the Hadith. It's more to do with the epistemic status of the Hadith. The stronger the epistemic status of the Hadith is, that will mean that this Hadith is corresponding with the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Usul al-Fiqh is all to do with understanding the will of Allah, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually wants from us. It's not really to do with the practice itself. That's fiqh and hadith. Ulumul hadith is basically more practical, whether we can accept, we can practice this hadith or we leave this hadith. So there are stark differences. Although the terminologies might look the same, there are stark differences in its philosophy of what the Bahth of Sunnah in Usulul Fiqh is doing and what Ulumul Hadith is doing. Does that make sense? So this is what he says, is ilmul isnadi yubhathu fihi an sihhatil hadithi aw du'fi liyu'mal bihi aw yutrak, so that we may practice it or we may reject it if it's da'if. Min haythu, how do we do it? So you said ilmul isnad is so that we look at, we look at the isnad to ascertain whether hadith is sahih or da'if in order to either practice it, do amal on it or tark of it. How do we do it? Min haythu sifatul rijal wa siyagul ada. From the point of view of looking at the qualities of the narrators and the manner that the narration has been transmitted. So we look at, was this person da'if? Was this person sahih? Was this person this? Was it related with, narrated with haddasana? Was it an? Was it qala? So these all have different ahkam. Right, but mutawatir is not like that. Why? Wal mutawatir la yubhath an rijalihi. Because the mutawatir, we don't even look into the individual lives and the sifats of the people involved, because there's so many people involved that we can't actually go on, examine every single people's life. So in mutawatir, we don't actually look in the individuals involved. We just look at the greatness of the numbers. But يَجِبُ الْعَمَلُ بِهِ مِنْ غَيْرِ بَحْثٍ. The mutawatir is wajib to do amal on it without even investigating the nature of these people. Does that make sense? This is why Imam Ibn Hajar says that the mutawatir, with this kayfiyah, is not something that even we're going to discuss furthermore, because it's not from the ilmul isnad, and ulumul hadith is to do with the ilmul isnad, right? Is that okay?
Is this more of a theoretical discussion? Because at the end of the day, if there's a hadith that's mutawatir, they're going to look at all the different asanid and the sahabe, right? I mean, in terms of certain knowledge, in terms of like epistemological.
Yeah, I mean, it is theoretical, because the way that the Imam Ibn Hajar has explained the concept of mutawatir and the conditions of mutawatir, no hadith actually exists. So it is 100% theoretical. And he's going to pick up the discussion later on. He's going to pick up that discussion and he's going to rebut that argument that no hadith exists. And then he's going to bring evidence why many, many ahadiths exist, but he actually, Imam Ibn Hajar Asqalani, actually falls short of what he's trying to prove. So when we get there, we'll talk about that. Yeah? Fa'idah. ذكر ابن الصلاح أن مثال المتواتر على التفسير المقدم. So this is what it is. Imam Ibn Salah basically said أن مثال المتواتر على التفسير المقدم يعز وجوده. That according to the previous discussions on the mutawatir with that condition, Imam Ibn Salah basically says that it is very difficult to find a real example of that. يَعِزُّ وُجُودُهُ إِلَّا أَن يُدَّعَ ذَلِكَ فِي حَدِيثِ مَنْ كَذَبَ عَلَيَّ مُتَعَمِّدًا فَلْيَتَبَوَّأْ مَقَعَدَهُ مِنَ النَّارِ. The only exception that Imam Ibn Salah makes to this is the hadith man kadhaba alayya, that hadith man kadhaba alayya muta'ammidan falyatabawwa maq'adahu min an-nar may be possibly the only hadith which fulfills all of the four conditions of the mutawatir. This is Ibn Salah saying. Besides that hadith, with the exception of that hadith, no mutawatir exists according to that definition that has been given, which is a definition of usul al-fiqh. وَمَدْ دَعَاهُ Imam Ibn Hajar Asqalani is basically saying وَمَدْ دَعَاهُ مِنَ الْعِزَّةِ مَمْنُوعٌ, right? And the claim of impossibility or very not impossibility or very difficulty of finding a hadith according to that condition that Imam Ibn Salah has claimed, mamnu'un, we don't accept it. Mamnu'un here doesn't, it's not forbidden, it's, we don't accept it. Why? وَكَذَا مَدَّعَاهُ غَيْرُهُ مِنَ الْعَدَمِ. And similarly, we don't accept the claim of those people who have claimed that no such hadith exist. He says, لِأَنَّ ذَلِكَ نَشَأَ عَنْ قِلَّةِ اِطِّلَاعٍ على كثرة الطرق وأحوال الرجال وصفاتهم المقتضية لإبعاد العادة أن يتواطأوا على كذب أو يحصل منهم اتفاقا. He says because this is born out of, he says because this opinion that it is very difficult to find a mutawatir hadith, or that a mutawatir hadith does not exist, these views are born out of nasha'a an qillat is born out of inexperience of the and not knowing kathrat al-turuq of the many transmission lines wa ahwalur rijal and the ahwal of the rijal, the situations of the rawis wa sifatihim al-muqtadiyya and their internal qualities, right, al-muqtadiyya, which requires li-ibad al-ada, that normally ada or our normal situation demands that they will be ayatawata'u ala kadhibin, that they will be colluding on a lie, or that this has occurred from them ittifaqan, coincidentally, right? So what Imam Ibn Hajar, he's responding and he's thrashing at Ibn Salah and others who have made those claims, and he basically said, they just don't know, they don't have knowledge. And if they knew the kathrat al-turuq and ahwal al-rijal and sifat al-muqtadiyya, then they will know that these riwayats can fulfill the conditions of the mutawatir. We'll come to that, inshallah. ومن أحسن ما يقرر به كون المتواتر موجودا وجود كثرة في الأحاديث أن الكتب المشهورة متداولة بأيدي أهل العلم شرقا وغربا المقطوعة عندهم بصحة نسبتها إلى مصنفيها إذا اجتمعت على إخراج حديث وتعدد طرقه تعددا تحيل العادة تواتم على الكذب إلى آخر الشروط أفاد العلم اليقيني بصحته إلى قائله ومثل ذلك في الكتب المشهورة كثير. And the best evidence, or the best evidence to put forward that ما يقرر به كون المتواتر, which will definitely establish that the mutawatir is موجود, exists, is وجود كثرة في الأحاديث, that the ahadith is found in abundance. أن الكتب المشهورة متداولة بأيدي أهل العلم شرقا وغربا, that the books of Ahadith are famous and they are traversed and they are famously found everywhere in the East and the West. المقطوعة عندهم نسبتها إلى مصنفه, which there is a certainty that these books are 100% accurately attributed to their authors. إذا اجتمعت على إخراج حديث, if we gather together, if these were all gathered in order to reference the hadith, to take up the hadith, وَتَعَدَّدْ تُرُقُهُ, and the different transmission lines of all of this, تَعَدُّدًا, the transmission line will be such that it will be impossible for all of them to be colluding on a lie, or until up to the last condition. أفاد العلم اليقيني بصحتي إلى قائله. This gives يقيني knowledge that the يقيني knowledge that we can attribute it to the author. ومثل ذلك في الكتب المشهورة, or to the person who's saying it. ومثل ذلك في الكتب المشهورة كثير, and examples of this are abundance in the books of مشهور books. What he's basically saying here is, he's saying that ahadith books are many, 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 right? And their attribution to their authors are many, many, you know, are 100% certain. Like Bukhari is certain, Muslim is certain. So attribution, there are many, many ahadith. If we were to take one hadith, say, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ, if we were to take that hadith, right? Or any one hadith, and do takhrij of that hadith from every single one of those books that are available, then surely the amount of books that are attributed to the authors with certainty, right? Surely that in a way, you know, and then we do takhrij of the hadith, because that hadith is abundantly available in every single one of this hadith, then surely that is a sign that this hadith is mutawatir, right? That's what he's saying. Does anybody understand his job, and do you see a contradiction with what he's saying now and what he said before? Anyone? Hussein?
No, sorry. So I don't think I fully understand this point about the number of books.
Okay. So let's say he's saying there are 100,000 ahadith books, let's say, for example. So we put numbers. 100,000 ahadith books, yeah? And those 100,000 ahadith books, we know 100% that their authors have written them. So are you with me?
Yes.
Yeah? If we were to take one hadith, yeah? And that hadith was found in those 100,000 hadith books, then surely 100,000 people are mentioning the same hadith, this hadith should be mutawatir. That's what he's saying. So he says that is the biggest dalil. Do you understand?
Yes.
Because 100,000 people have referenced that hadith. Do you see any contradiction between what he's saying here and what he said before?
Yes.
What is that contradiction?
Because that's only at the part of the Senad, starting with Asr al-Tadweed when it was written. But that doesn't necessarily mean that Tawatir exists in earlier parts of the Isnad, right? Is that right?
Yep, that's 100% right. It's basically, it just basically means that that hadith was collected by the authors in the Asr al-Tadweed. Doesn't necessarily mean that the hadith is sahih, or sorry, that hadith is mutawatir previously. It just means that the hadith is in a way mutawatir in the Asr al-Tadweed. That's what it means, right? Which is not what Ibn Hajar is saying before. So it's a weak argument, and I'm not making this critique. The Sheikh Sharif Hatim al-Auni in his Al-Manhaj al-Muqtarah basically actually discusses this ibara, and he says Ibn Salah and the others here were actually on the correct, because with those conditions of the mutawatir, which are not a hadith, ulum al-hadith conditions, these are usul al-fiqh conditions, you won't even get a hadith like that. And what Imam Ibn Hajar is saying, actually, he's using a different condition here. He's not using the previous condition. And you know what? Mutawatir in every single discipline has its own, terminology. For example, in qiraat, when we say this 10 mutawatir qiraats, right? It doesn't mean that, is there anybody who's very expertise here in qiraat? Right. 10 mutawatir qiraat doesn't mean that that they've been transmitted with such a large number that it's impossible for them to be colluding. No. A few isnads will make these into mutawatir. So mutawatir, depending on which discipline that you are looking at, will have different terminologies. The problem with the mutawatir definition here in the hadith is that this definition is taken from usul al-fiqh, and that has caused quite a bit of a problem.
Sheikh, can I ask a quick question?
Yes.
Can we say then the book? So did they stop collecting the isnad in Asr al-Tadwin? Because like we said last class, the author would say the book and there'd be many students and they would write it. So I assume that after the book is published, there is tawatur of the book. So that's why we stopped collecting the isnad, because when you get tawatur, then you have ilm yaqeen dururi and you don't need the isnad anymore. So that would be correct. I just want to make sure I'm understanding it correctly.
Yeah, yeah. So that will be correct. And we don't disagree. So these books, we don't disagree on the tawatur of the books, but just because the books are tawatur doesn't necessarily mean the hadith is tawatur. Now, the only thing that we can say, which for sure with tawatur, that there's tawatur with certainty, are those things which are known as ma'lum min ad-din bid-darura, those things which we know immediately by necessity of the religion. Allah is one. That's mutawatir. The Quran is the last book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's mutawatir. There's five times prayer. That's mutawatir. The Ramadan is the ninth month of the Islamic and it's fard. That's mutawatir. Those are mutawatir that they're so obvious, right, that nobody will deny. And if anybody was to deny, we'll basically think of this guy as madman. But a hadith with this isnad in that proper way, unfortunately, the only one hadith that the ulama have mentioned with this condition is basically man kadhaba alayya muta'ammidan falyatabawwa maq'adahu min an-nar. Na'am, later on, what the ulama have done is, like for example, Imam As-Suyuti, very proudly, Imam Suyuti was born in 949, right? Very proudly, basically, has a book called Qatful Azhar and Al Azhar al Mutanathir. It's got three books, and they're like kind of summaries and expansions of each other, right? So in Al Azhar al Mutanathir, he basically says that I am the first one to have written a book on mutawatir ahadith, and I have collected 300 mutawatir ahadith. I'm the first one to do this, and he's doing fakhr. He's proud that he's doing that, and it's a very good, it's a very great service to Islam. However, in order to be able to find 300 ahadith which are mutawatir, he had to redefine what mutawatir is, and that's where we start getting the concept of mutawatir ma'nawi. Now, mutawatir ma'nawi, here we're talking about mutawatir lafzi. Mutawatir ma'nawi, we're not disagreeing with that. But mutawatir ma'nawi is really not mutawatir. So if somebody says, this is a mutawatir hadith, right? What should come into mind is mutawatir lafzi, not mutawatir ma'nawi. Because mutawatir ma'nawi is metaphorical mutawatir. So it's not really, yeah? It's just agreeing on a piece of information. G. Hussein.
Sorry, just on the back of that, I just thought a question right now. So to clarify what you just said, the mutawatir ma'nawi and lafzi, the hadith Bunya al-Islam ala khams is mutawatir, I mean, in the actual, content, but the hadith might not be mutawatir.
Yeah, with those lafz.
Yeah. And the other question I had, I have a very hypothetical question. So let's say those four sahaba who took a hadith from Prophet al-Islam and they wrote it down, and then somebody found that writing and then it was preserved, until now. Would that be mutawatir technically?
What do you mean by preserved?
I mean, like the document is still, you know, there. And we know that.
So the document hasn't been transmitted throughout history. Just now we discovered it. And then we dated it and everything, and we found out that it goes back to the Sahabi.
Yes.
Yeah, no, that won't be counted as mutawatir.
Okay.
Faisal Sab, you had a question.
I have one more.
Who's talking now?
It's Faisal.
Faisal Sab.
Yeah, just so about the division between mutawatir ma'anawi and lafzi. So that was something that Imam Suyuti started, or it predated him?
No, he didn't start that. He started previously, but he was the one that wrote the first kind of encyclopedia on it. Okay. He collected. He was the first one to do that. So you can see that he's very, very late.
Okay.
Yep. Omar, you had a question?
Yes. So you were saying the qira'at don't have the usul fiqh definition of tawatir, but you know, we know the Quran is mutawatir. So does the Quran's transmission have the usul fiqh definition of tawatir in terms of its transition? Transmission to us. Yep. It does, right?
Yeah. The Mus'haf Uthmani, because everybody was reading it, and it's been transmitted over the years without. So remember what dharuri is. Dharuri is basically we've said dharuri is where anyone and everyone is involved in the process, and not just ulama, right? Anyone and everyone who's involved. My mother who doesn't know how to read the Quran. Right, probably your grandmother who doesn't know how to read the Quran. If every person in society, right, from the elitist ulama to the, you know, the person that can barely be involved in, if they are barely read, if they're involved in the process, then that is mutawatir. Does that make sense?
Yep, got it. Thank you so much.
Okay. So what we'll do is we'll leave it here. وَالثَّانِي هُوَ أَوَّلُ أَقْسَامِ الْآحَادِ, because then we start on the, we finish the discussion on mutawatir, we've started on the ahad now, so we'll pick up on that from next week, inshallah. Is that okay? Any other questions?
I had one from last week.
Yeah, go on.
But it's kind of like off the subject. So if anybody else has a question related to this first, then I think they should go first.
Okay, go on, Hussein.
So, you know, you mentioned last week that this ilm is simply about whether it's accepted or not.
Yeah.
It's just the isnad. And then I was reading, I think, in Professor Jonathan Brown's, and that's a criticism against Muslim hadith scholarship, that they never do, or they never did criticism of the actual matan. And then he tries to kind of, you know, defend that, make an argument against that. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, so I mean, Jonathan Brown basically says that an isnad which is faulty, a faulty isnad is a symptom of a faulty matan. That's what he says. I mean, it depends what you look, what you think of hadith scholars to be. Hadith is only one part of a hadith scholar's job, right, to ascertain the text, and it's attribution to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's not all they did. They practiced them, they taught them, and they also did sharh of them. Does that make sense? So ulum, so there's different portions or different areas in ulum al-hadith. So in ulum al-hadith, different areas of hadith, there's the sharh al-hadith, there's the mukhtalaf al-hadith, and then there's this is mabahith al-isnad. This is all mabahith al-isnad. The thing is that I don't necessarily see that as a criticism. the ulama primarily did that as well. You know, they primarily did that. They did look at the matan, but they looked at the matan from a very technical angle, from ilal and shaz. They didn't really look at it from a content base. So, I mean, Jonathan Brown tries to deflect that. The criticism is that some ahadith are bizarre and they have not been assessed against the Quran. Right, they have been independently assessed using a different set of criteria, and the ulama should have assessed them against the Quran. And because the Prophet can't say anything against the Quran, and therefore, you know, if a hadith is going against the Quran, then we should reject that, which is a valid argument. But the muhaddisun had their own terminologies, and I don't see that as a criticism. Right. All they're doing is they're ascertaining whether the Prophet ﷺ said it or not. It's got nothing to do with the amal. The amal comes afterwards. Right. We can basically say, yes, the Prophet ﷺ said it. Right. But he said it in this context. It does no longer apply, or it applies in that context. Does that make sense? But Jonathan Brown does try to deflect it, and he says that a weak sanad, right, is a symptom of a problem in the matan. That's how he looks at it. So, yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see it as a criticism. We kind of shy away. Call a spade a spade. This is what they were doing. They were critical historians, right? And as critical historians, they were establishing source criticisms, and they were establishing from the data that they have available, they were reconstructing history. They were reconstructing whether the Prophet said it or not. Right, and they used the tools of history that was available to them, because that tool they found scientific. Whereas if you were to look at it against the Quran, then that is an element of interpretation, and interpretation is not scientific. Does that make sense? Because my interpretation can differ from your interpretation. Yeah. So they were trying to be scientific as possible. Okay, Jazakumullah khair. I will see you all next week, inshallah. Faisal, you had a question.
It's just actually following up on that. I don't know if this is more of a modernist critique, but I've heard some people say how when there was a contradiction between the hadith and the Quran, one of the things that the scholars would do is increase the probability of the nusk and mansukh, and that over time it got like exaggerated what was abrogated and what was abrogated. Is that valid, or is that more of a modern kind of?
No, that is what happened. That is what happened. The concept of nasikh mansukh became so wide that everything comes into its ambit. The other thing is that we also need to look at from whose point are we from whose positions are we coming, like, for example, and what is our understanding vis-a-vis the sunnah and the hadith. So the Shafi'i understanding is that the sunnah is on the same level as the Quran, right? Mm-hmm. and the sunnah is an independent source of sharia, independent of the Quran. Mm-hmm. They're like this. Both of them are like this. The Hanafi position is no. The Hanafi position is primacy of the Quran. The hadith is subservient, and therefore their epistemology and their usul is always that if it contradicts. So, for example, in usulul fiqh, in the chapter of Sunnah, they have this section called inqita. Right, and the inqita' zahir, inqita' batin. And inqita' batin basically is when a hadith goes against the when a hadith goes against the Quran, or a established sunnah, or a qiyas, or a qiyas al-usul, or a taqrir al-usul, then we basically we don't act upon the hadith. Now, what is very interesting here is that they still do not reject that to be a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They just don't accept it as practice. It's two different things. One thing is basically, no, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam cannot have said that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But another thing is, Prophet may have said it, but we're not going to act upon it because of X, Y, Z reasons. Two different things, right? Mm-hmm. Imam Malik, rahmatullahi alayh, in the Muwatta, he says, "Al-bayyani bil-khiyar ma lam yatafarraqa," right? That the people who are buying and selling, right, in a contract, they're buying and selling, they have the option to dissolve the contract, dissolve their transaction, as long as they do not, separate. Okay, and Imam Shafi and others, they basically believe that to be furqatul abdan. Furqatul abdan means that they had to physically separate from each other, right? So, What if they were stuck on a ship? Does that mean that they will have the option until 3 or 4 hours to dissolve the So Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayh doesn't act upon the hadith, despite the fact that he narrates it in Muwatta, despite the fact that it's got the silsilatul dhahab, silsilatul is the golden chain according to Imam Bukhari. Malik an Nafi an Ibn Umar is the most authentic chain according to Imam Bukhari. Still, Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayhi does not act upon this hadith, and he says walaysa al-amru indana, this is not how we do things in Medina. So that's, he's just rejecting the practice, he's not rejecting the that these words are the prophets. It's two different things.
I guess they'll say that, or maybe this is khas to a particular
does that make sense? Barakallahu fiqh. I will see you next week, inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.